sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic voice proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. On the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. From the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the new.
Jesus, where he lay in a manger filled with hay. Oh, Jesus. What a wonderful child.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
So lovely, make it mine. New life, new hope, new joy he brings.
Won't you listen?
Won't you listen?
To the angels
sing the glory, glory, love, glory to the newborn King.
How many are ready for the rest of this weekend? Are you ready for the rest of this weekend? My children are. I can guarantee you that. It's nothing about, is it time yet? Is it time yet? The other day I was working in the office at home, and it was just me and the twins there, my 4.5-year-old twins, and I heard Hayden come stomping through the house, and he said, "Howie, come here. You're not going to believe this." He goes, "Come follow me." And immediately I thought, I better follow them, you know. So I watched them, and they went through our house, and they went back to Grandma's apartment back in the back of our house. We have a built-on apartment for her, and they walked through there, and they went back to her bedroom, and she had wrapped gifts, and they had them hidden in her bedroom. And Hayden had found them, and he wanted to show Hallie. He said, "Hallie, look at this, presents." And they began to dive in. They were going to unwrap everyone. If I hadn't been there to stop them, they were ready to unwrap everyone. I had to pull them out of there. And said, "No, that's for Christmas time." And they just could not wait to unwrap their presents. You know, children are that way. They want to unwrap their presents right away. How many glad adults aren't that way? Ah, yeah, look at you. Some of you are thinking some of your spouse have been snooping around already, wondering what's your husband's got you or your wife's got you. Some of you probably, if the truth was known, unwrapped half the package and wrapped it back. Not that I'd ever do that, but I've heard of people who do that. I even heard somebody who unwrapped it one time and took it back and exchanged it and wrapped it back up, but I won't call that person's name, but she knows who she is. Anyway, I just remember that story. But today, we're so glad to have you and your family here at Destiny Church, and we are going to celebrate the Lord. And someone asked me if I could preach a short sermon today, if it's possible. How many know all things are possible through Jesus Christ who strengthens us? We're going to be taking communion in just a few minutes, but I want to talk to you, first of all, before we do that, and speak a few minutes on the topic on what's the big deal about Christmas. And as I passed through the mall yesterday, I was doing some last-minute stuff myself at the mall, and I walked by, and if you've been to the North Park Mall lately, they've remodeled. It doesn't look nice out there. They remodeled. Got some brand-new furniture out there and these big, comfy chairs, and all the men are sitting around in these big, comfy chairs where the wives were doing the shopping. And I mean, I passed by this one guy outside the famous bar, and he was sitting down just like this. This is no exaggeration. He was sitting down like this, and I mean, he could have played the Grinch. He was there. And I thought, you know, if I had my camera with me today, he would have been a perfect shot to put on the title slide. What's the big deal about Christmas? Everything about him was shouting, "What's the big deal about Christmas?" Humbug, you know, that's kind of that thing when it come out. You can just tell he just was hating being there. Like, I wish Christmas would hurry up and pass. And some of you are maybe already thinking, "What's the big deal about Christmas? It's just a man-made holiday to buy presents, to get our money, to get more tax dollars coming through, yada, yada, yada. Let's get it over with," you know. And to a certain extent, some of that may be true. But Christmas is a big deal. And if you want what the big deal about Christmas is, we're going to answer that question today. What is the big deal about Christmas? And we're going to look at the three R's today about Christmas. I want to talk to you about three R's: the relevance of Christmas, the reason for Christmas, and then the result of Christmas. First of all, let's talk about the relevance of Christmas. We can sum it up in this first word right here: God came to earth. What's the relevance of Christmas? God came to earth. That's a big deal. During World War II, we see where allies invaded Normandy. They invaded Normandy's beaches, and they went there, and that was a big deal in history. But I'm here to tell you today that 2,000 and almost 7 years ago, it was a big deal. When Christ came to this earth, it was a big deal. It altered time. And every time we sign our check, 2006, we sign our check that's soon to come, 2007, we are validating that Jesus Christ came to this earth. I don't believe in God. Well, you're too bad. Your check says otherwise. Your birth certificate says otherwise. It is validated by our government. It's validated by society that Jesus Christ came. And it's a big deal. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. Let's read this together. Jesus Christ is the exact likeness, wow, of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. In fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything. It's a big deal. You see, Jesus didn't just start in the Bible. Some of you think, well, Jesus started in the manger. No, Jesus started before creation. The Word of God says that Jesus took a part in creation. When you've seen God, you have seen the Son. And it says that Jesus was a part of creation, that he was there. And what makes it a big deal is that he came to this earth. Look what Philippians 2:7 says. I like what the Amplified Version says. He became like men and was born a human being. He took on human form. That our God in the universe took on human form, that's a big deal. He didn't start when he was born. He was already into existence. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke creation into existence. He spoke man into existence. It is a big deal that an almighty God whose creation, that he humbled himself and left the heavenly throne, who left glory, who left being with his Father, said, you know what, I'm going to come and take on a baby form. But you know what? If that had been me, I think about it. You know, if that had been us today, let's be honest about it. Let's answer a question. If I was Jesus and I could come in any way, would I come in a manger? In a stinking stable with poor peasants? In a poor little town? I mean, think about it. I would have waited until the Super Bowl halftime. He'd appeared out there and said, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, I mean, the world is watching. What a better way to make an entrance. Can you think of some great entrances you could make if you were God? But he didn't choose to do that, did he? Why did he choose to come in earthly form and not make a big entrance? Because he came to save us, not to scare us. He came to save us, not to scare us. Can you imagine if he just appeared in the halftime show in front of all the millions of people watching? God, I mean, you're talking about scaring people. But he didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. So he came as a little baby. He came as a little baby. Put that up there today. Look at that little picture of that baby. Look at that. God came to earth. I mean, babies are something about babies. So you just want to love them, don't you? You just want to kiss them. You just want to hold them. So peaceful, so lovable. Who couldn't love a baby? And so Jesus came in the same way that you and I entered the world as a little baby. He didn't come in a threatening way. He didn't come to scare you. But he came in the same way that we came. He was every bit human being, but yet he was full God, but yet he was still full man. We see where he was every bit a Palestinian Jew, because that's who he was. He was a carpenter's son. He was probably well-formed because he was a carpenter. He worked with his arms and did a lot of work. He was probably cut pretty good. Of course, we know that Jesus had the first mullet. He had it going. All the pictures say he had the mullet. I mean, he was every bit as much as you and I, human being. But yet he was fully man.
He was fully man. And today he understands what you're going through. The fact that he came to earth means that he wanted to walk in your shoes so he could identify with you. That you could identify that your God has walked in your shoes. The Word of God talks about that he has suffered every temptation that you and I did. He did not give in to that temptation. He did not sin not, but he did suffer and go through and face the same temptations that we went through. So he understands you. It's very relevant. It is a big deal that God came to earth. The second reason is this. The reason for Christmas is this. He came for your benefit. He came for my benefit. He came because I needed him to come. He came because you needed him to come. Why did God come to earth? The Bible tells us four quick things. It says, number one, he came to earth because he wanted to show us what God was like. When he came to earth, he showed us in human form what God was like. Listen, there's a lot of crazy ideas out there what Jesus is like. There's a lot of crazy ideas out there what God is like. You can do searches on the internet and you can find them. And there's some whacked out ideas of what God is like. And so if we didn't have a true account of what God was like, how can we believe what he truly is? Everybody's saying he's this and he's that and he's the God like this. No, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is solid. It does not lie, and it gives an account of who Jesus is. This is why he came to this earth, to give us an account and to show us who God is. You see, nature will show you a lot of things about God. Nature will show you that God is creative. Nature will show you that God likes variety. Nature will show you that God likes color. Nature will show you a lot of different things. But nature can't show you that God loves you in a very real way. He had to come. He came and died to show you that. Nature doesn't show you that God has a destiny for your life, that God has a purpose for your life. Nature doesn't tell you that. Jesus does. Nature can tell you the things of God, that God has a plan. Nature doesn't tell you that God came to forgive you of your sins. Jesus came to tell you that. See, Jesus came in man form so we could see what God is like. The second thing we see, he came to show us what life really should be like and to show us how we can really live. Some of you are just existing in your life. This Christmas is past, going to pass tomorrow, and you'll be no different than you were last Christmas. You're just passing through life one day to the next, not really living, just existing. And God didn't come for you just to exist. He said, I've come to give you life that you may have it more abundantly. He came to give you life. He said, I've come to give you life to the fullest. And the third reason he came to earth is to show us that we can trust God. To show us we can trust him. He came to earth and he has fulfilled every one of his promises he's ever made to us. He's fulfilled those promises and shown that we can trust him. And the fourth reason he came to earth was this, to forgive us of our sins. That's why he came to earth, was to forgive us of our sins. It's a big deal. The Bible says here that he became man so that he could take away our sins. And though he was God, he laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on the cross. He came to earth to show us who he was. He came to earth to forgive us of our sins. It cost Jesus a lot to come to this earth. It cost him a lot to live here on earth, to take a human form, to come and live in a peasant family. He gave up a lot to come. I'm sure today that's one of the reasons why the angels sing, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Not because he's just so holy, but they've seen this holy God leave the place of holiness, leave the place of glory, and come and to humble himself for you and I. And I imagine every time they sing, they look at him and say, oh, what an awesome king. What an awesome king that he would leave heaven and come and live on earth for mankind. You see, today Christmas is not about Santa. It's about a Savior. It's not about jingle bells. It's about Jesus.
Jesus is the reason for the season. Some of you have heard that this Christmas season. You've seen the bumper stickers, Christmas cards that say Jesus is the reason for the season. And I say that's very true. He is the reason for the season. But let me tell you something today, and I want you to hear me clearly as I tell you this. I'm going to let you in a little secret right here, okay? You want to know what the big deal about Christmas really is? It's about you. It's about me. I'm the big deal at Christmas. Because if I didn't need a Savior, He would not have come. If you didn't need a Savior, He would not have come. And so Christmas is a big deal because I needed Him to come to forgive me my sins, to restore a relationship path with Him that man had trashed, had threw away. And if I did not need a Savior, He would not have come 2,007 years ago. So Christmas, what's the big deal? I am. I'm going to look in the mirror and say, Christmas is all about me because He came for me. He came for you. Yes, Jesus is the reason for the season. But the reason that He came was all about you and all about me because of His love for me, because of His love for you. We are the big deal about Christmas. So what's the result of Christmas? The result is you can know God. You can know Him in a personal way today. If you miss it this Christmas, you have blown everything about Christmas. If you don't realize that Jesus came, but you can know Him in a personal way, you have blown everything there is to know about Christmas. Some of you here today, you've just been existing. Matter of fact, you hate Christmas because it reminds you of some of the bad things that happened in your life. It reminds you of family that has deserted you. It reminds you of family that's far away. It reminds you of things that you've gone through that have been painful in your life. And so for you, you wish Christmas just get away. You can't wait to close your eyes and to get through this season. And say, man, I'll be glad when that's over. And I say today that Jesus came for you today. Not that you would have to close your eyes and wish it to be gone. He could come to bring you comfort, forgiveness, a new life, of peace, of hope, of strength. You are the big reason. Today and tomorrow, many of you are receiving lots of gifts. Some gifts will not last very long. Some gifts will be broken before the day's over. Some gifts will take it back in exchange because you don't like it. Some gifts will be re-gifted the next year. You know what I'm talking about, an old bottle of Avon cologne you guys been circling around the whole family for years and years. You just dust it off and give it to somebody else. That new brother-in-law, the new son-in-law that comes to the family, here you go. They don't know it's been given around to everybody else in the family. We're going to get a lot of different gifts this Christmas season, some of them very impersonal, some of them just flat out cheap. You know, let's be honest, it's not about the money, it's about the heart. Some of the gifts we're going to get right out cheap. Let me tell you about the gift that God brings to you today. His gift is a personal gift. His gift is custom made for you and me. His gift is the most practical gift you'll ever receive in your lifetime. The most practical thing you could ever receive in your lifetime is the gift of Jesus Christ. His gift is priceless because it was paid for with His life. And His gift can last throughout eternity. It will never break. It will never fail. His love is always enduring. So where do I get a gift like that? Well, today you're in the right spot. See, Pastor Gene, where do I get a gift like that, man? Where do I get a gift that lasts for eternity, that brings the hope you're talking about? Because I'm tired. I'm tired of living my life without hope. I'm tired of living my life just existing. I want to accept the gift of Christmas this year. I realize as you're speaking that, wow, that I play a big role in Christmas. Because if I didn't need Jesus, He would not have came. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask you today, maybe you're here today and you're like the four people that was here last week who raised their hands and said, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This Christmas season,
you know that you are loved, not only by the people here in this room, but you are loved even greater by a God who came to earth to die for you and to die for me. And today you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know. I need a gift of eternity. I don't know where I would spend eternity if I died today. I don't know. As you're talking about the gift of Christmas, I want to open this gift up and I want to receive this gift of Jesus. No one's looking but me today. If you're here today, say, Pastor Gene, number one, either you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today on this, what a great day on Christmas Eve to do that. Or maybe you're here today and say, I've accepted him in the past, but I've turned my back from him. I've ran from him. I haven't lived for him in a long time. Today, I want to come back and rededicate my life to him and say, yes, Jesus, I want to come. I want to come and be a follower of you again. If that's you, no one's looking but me, but can you raise your hand and say, it's me? I want to make that decision today. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. One more time. Anybody else here today? You say, that's me, Pastor Gene. If you haven't raised your hand yet, I'm going to give you one more chance to say, that's me. I want to pray that prayer today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to make sure God knows that today I want to accept him. Anybody else today? You want to join the three others who raised their hand? If that's you, can you raise your hand high? I'm going to invite you to do this morning. We're going to all pray this prayer. So I want you to ask that you all pray after me. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life. I give you everything I am. All my past sin. All my hurts. Everything I am. I give to you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. I will live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you know that the prayer is just the start of our salvation walk. That it takes more than just praying a prayer, but it takes, Jesus said, when we pray this prayer, that now we're to turn and to begin to pursue after him. And today, if you prayed that prayer, you need to pursue after a right relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You come to a church family and you get involved. And you get involved in people who will love you and support you and help you. Today, if you prayed that prayer before you leave today, make sure you tell somebody that you came with or tell someone that, hey, I prayed that prayer today, okay? Second thing we're going to do today, we're going to take communion. I'm going to ask that our servers begin to come this morning to take their places. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. As our servers come this morning, listen, what an intimate time to take communion with our church family, with our immediate family, our friends here today. We celebrate the goodness of our Lord. Now listen to me, I'm going to give you instructions. I'm going to ask today that you come down the right-hand side aisle and go back up your left-hand side over here and over here also. And what I'm going to ask you to do here in this middle section, if you can just kind of see an invisible line right here in the middle, okay? It's such a big section. It's kind of a visible line right here. If you can, half you can go to the left and half you can go to the right. We'd appreciate that to help the crowd control. And we're going to do that this morning. I'm going to invite you to come this morning. Come, receive the elements, go back, and be seated where you're at, and we'll take them together and pray over them together. As you come today, listen to the words of this video today and know that Jesus Christ came. He came because of you and I. These words are the best words I've ever heard describe our Lord Jesus. Come this morning.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews, king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.
Something about the name Jesus. What you hold in your hand today represents who Jesus Christ was. His body that was broken for us, and his blood, the cup, the covenant that he made with us.
Today we're going to take of these things, the elements together, and I've asked Reverend Paul Dils to come today, and it's a privilege to have him here with us, him and his family today. They are guests of ours many times, and we just love having them every time they could be here. I knew he was going to be here for dedication today, so I asked him if he'd join us and help us bless the bread. So I'm going to ask him to bless the bread this morning.
First of all, I want to say that this is a very emotional time for me. For last Christmas Eve, I spent in the hospital with my wife, and we didn't know whether she'd even walk again or whether she'd even live. But she's with me today, and she is living proof of what we are just about to partake of. And so would you bow your heads with me as I pray for just a moment. Father, open our spiritual eyes that we may discern, that we may recognize, understand, and comprehend why your body was broken for us. Just as your blood was shed for us, for our cleansing, your body was broken for our healing. For by your stripes we are healed. And as we partake of the symbol of your broken body, may the power released through your resurrection from the dead flow through our mortal bodies and bring healing to your church. Amen.
Father God, I just thank you this morning for your blood. Father, I thank you for coming to this earth so many years ago. And I thank you that you didn't give up in times where I would have given up. And where a lot of people that I know would have given up, that you didn't give up. And you kept going for my salvation. And I thank you that in the time that you could have called down 10,000 angels and saved yourself, that you didn't. That you made the right decision, Lord Jesus, and that you were the ultimate example of making the right decision to follow and to be who that we are supposed to be in your name. And Father God, I thank you for the blood that flowed down Calvary's hill that day. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. And I'm a sinner this morning, saved by grace. And my righteousness is nothing if it wasn't for you, Lord. And I thank you for the blood that flowed, that forgave my sins and forgave the whole world's sins. And we just thank you this morning. Amen.
Let's take the cup together. Yes. Well, just take time to worship now in your own way. Stand for the Lord.
Yes, Father, there's something about your name, Lord. Lord, there's something about your name, Jesus. There's something about your name, Jesus. Something about your name that even the angels sing constantly. Glory, glory to God in the highest. Something about your name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. There's something about your name that every demon must tremble at the sound, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's something about your name that's above every name given among men, the name Jesus. It says, if I am lifted up, that you in yourself will draw all men unto yourself. There's something about your name, Lord. Yes, Jesus. There's something about your name, Lord. Today, as we close out the service, you're here today, and you need a touch from God in any part of your life, whether it be a healing, whether it be something you're going through. Today, God is here to meet you at your point of need. I invite you today, whatever your need is, to raise your hands up to the Lord. Say, God, I have need today. Receive His healing power today. Raise your hands where you're at today. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who are raising their hands, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we speak through your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit be in the flow, God, and touch every person with a need here today. For those who need physical healing, God, may your Spirit flow, begin to strengthen their bodies. May health return to their bodies. May their hearts be strengthened, God. May their backs be straightened. God, may the pain begin to relieve, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, may lungs begin to clear up, God. May financial breakthrough begin to happen, God. May stress leave, Father, in Jesus' name. There's something about your name, Jesus. Come on, just begin to speak the name, Jesus. This morning, as we close out the service, I want you to do this. Can we just all together speak the name Jesus? Let's do it. Everybody say Jesus. Say Jesus. Say it again. Say Jesus. Now, we said that once. Now, I want you to spiritually see yourself speaking the name Jesus over your situation, okay? We're going to say it again. This time, I want you to imagine anything in your heart, think of things in your life you're going through. Maybe it's a problem you have. Maybe you don't have a problem. Maybe you just are seeing the community as a whole and seeing where Jesus needs to be invaded in places of our community where we need spiritual breakthrough in our community. I want you to see places in your life, in this community, where we need God's strength, where we need God to break through in people's lives. And when you speak the name Jesus, I want you to see spiritually, I want you to see yourself speaking the name Jesus over that situation. Let's say it again. Say Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. You can't pray a more powerful prayer than right there. We speak the name Jesus. Lord, we speak your name, Jesus. Lord, we speak your name, Jesus. We speak your name, Jesus. We speak your name, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. We worship you today. Lord, we are so comforted with the words that say when we call upon the name Jesus, that you draw close to us. Father, we feel you close to us today. And may we feel you close throughout this whole Christmas season. But God, more than Christmas, it's about a relationship with you. God, may we daily, God, daily, daily call upon the name Jesus. We love you today. How many today have enjoyed being in the house of the Lord already? Have you enjoyed that? Have you enjoyed this communion time together?
What an intimate time with the Lord. Today, before you dismiss, I do want to say that it was so good to have Pastor Matt and Crystal's mom and dad here on both sides, especially the Engel family coming in, pastors from California. They got a chance to be away from their church and come and visit their kids this weekend, and so it's a privilege to have you here today. He was my professor in college, homiletics, which is how you learn how to preach. And so if I didn't do a good job today, you can blame him. He's a great mentor in my life, and I appreciate them very much so, and we love having you guys here today. Today, before you leave, we say hug a neck, shake a hand, give a high five. Tell someone you love them. Tell them it's good to see you. You guys have a great, listen, don't forget, get those Krispy Kreme donuts. Take them with you. Don't take them home. Take them with you. Drop them off on the way home to somebody else. God bless you. Have a great Christmas.